Hello everyone, and welcome to the History of Language podcast. This week we're taking a look at Proto-Norse. It's a fairly short episode, but unfortunately I have a lot of schoolwork to get through right now, so we're keeping things short. In this episode, as I mentioned, we are looking at Proto-Norse, ancestor to the Old Norse language, and I hope you'll forget my vocal quality, as I seem to have caught a cold. Who'da thunk? It's cold up here in northern Norway. Anyway, my name is Dash Stevens, I'm a historical linguist and a history geek, and as always, I'll be your host and guide through languages over time. For those of you who are just tuning in, if this is your introduction to the History of Language podcast, go ahead and check out the previous episodes, because in this show, I talk about the history of languages over time, starting with one language family and working on to the modern descendants of a common ancestor. As I've mentioned, the primary topic of this is Proto-Norse, so let's talk about how we got there, which will set us up to talk about Old Norse itself, a very big episode, and then the modern Scandinavian languages, Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, Icelandic, and Faroese. Similar to the last episode, the culture of the speakers of Proto-Norse, and yes, I realize that I'll be using a few terms interchangeably here, namely Common Runic, Pre-Old Norse, and Proto-Norse, they largely would not have differed from that of the speakers of Common Germanic. So let's instead talk about the language changes in Proto-Norse, and then we can talk a bit about the culture of the Proto-Norse and their language. The phonology of Proto-Norse is where we really start to see some changes that mark the language as distinctly Nordic or Scandinavian, and although the sounds themselves are not all that different from Common Germanic, the realizations of them set the stages for changes to Old Norse. For the consonants, the changes that we see here are the fricative h becoming h, the stops b, d, and g becoming v, th, and r in word medial positions, as long as they aren't geminates or long consonants, and they devoice to become p, t, and k word finally, where they merge with the plain p, t, and k. We see the Common Germanic z rhoticizing, becoming first either z or z, then merging with the trill r. Therefore, the consonant inventory of Proto-Norse would have been something like this. The nasals m and n with their allophones ng and wa, which came before velar stops. The stops p, b, t, d, k, g, qua, and gwa. The fricatives f and th with their voiced allophones v and the. S, z or j or r. H and its voiced allophone r and hwa. The trill r and the approximants l, y, and wa. The vowels started to undergo some changes as well, namely the lowering of unstressed e to a and unstressed I and au becoming e and o respectively. We also see the Common Germanic overlong vowels shorten to regular long vowels, so a to a and o to o. We see the rise of o as distinct from o due to a mutation or a umlaut of the vowel u. We see early I mutation, so a become a before the vowel e and the semi-vowel y. U became u, then u. O became a, became u. We see the long nasal vowels ing, a, and ng come only before h. We see unstressed a undergo vowel breaking, becoming the diphthong ya, and u mutation, which created rounded allophones of unround vowels, so e became u. This would have happened in the late Proto-Norse period coming into Old Norse. So thus, the vowels of Proto-Norse would have looked like this. E and e, e and e, u and u, o and o, a and a, as well as the nasal vowels ing and ing, U and U, O and O, and A, as well as the diphthongs I, Au, Eu, and U. The stress system of Proto-Norse is potentially the same as in Old Norse, where stress regularly falls in the first syllable of the word, and that it had an additional pitch accent system inherited from Proto-Indo-European. This would have given rise to the contrastive pitch accent in modern Norwegian and Swedish, as well as the stø of Danish. For example, we can compare Norwegian bønder, beans, and bønder, farmers. we find examples of Proto-Norse in runic inscriptions from the 4th century CE onwards. For example, the inscription on the golden horns of Galahus from southern Jutland in modern Denmark, which reads Ek Hlewagastij Holtiaj Horna Tawido, meaning I, Hlewagast, son of Holt, made the horn. Or on the Einung stone found in Norway, reading Ek Godarastij Runo Faihido, meaning I, God Guest, drew the rune, or on the Tune stone, also from Norway, which reads Ek Wiwaj after Woduride Witan the Halaivan Warachto, Mej Woduride Steine Trijoj Dochtrij Dalidun Arvia Siostej Arviano, meaning I, Darter, made the stones after Fury Rider, my lord. For me, Fury Rider, three daughters, the most distinguished of heirs, prepared the stone. Let's talk about the speakers of this language. During the period in which Proto-Norse was spoken, Scandinavian culture flourished. The Germanic Iron Age was coming into full swing, and the abundance of iron in Scandinavia proved eminently useful to their trade partners to the south and east. The conclusion of conflicts between Celtic tribes and the Romans led to an increase in stable trade routes between Scandinavia, Central Europe, and the Mediterranean. The Scandinavians seized the opportunity and exported iron, furs, and slaves in exchange for goods, art, and innovations such as the stirrup. After the migration period, where the Germans migrated south along the Elbe River, the Franks and Franconians along the coast of the Netherlands into modern-day France, and the Goths southeast into the Roman Empire, Hunnic lands in modern-day Ukraine, leaving the Anglo-Frisians, Saxons, and the Scandinavians in the north, near Friesland, Saxony, and historical Angeln, meaning Schleswig-Holstein, and Denmark, the Vandalic period came with aplomb into Sweden. The Vandals, centered in Gamla Uppsala, produced amazing works of art in their arms and armor. They explored waterways into modern-day Russia and Belarus, and Jordanes, mentioned in the episode about Gothic, wrote that the Swedes had the best horses in Europe after the Thuringians, another Germanic tribe. This time is a frequent backdrop in Norse sagas, and seems to have been a point of pride for ancient Scandinavians. Once again, I apologize for the brevity of this episode. Getting things started again can always be a bit difficult, but we're trying here. This concludes the Proto-Norse episode of The History of Language. Next week, I'll take a break from the usual content to share some of my linguistics work that I'm doing, and afterwards, we'll have a look at Old Norse through the ages. After that, we'll go through the modern Scandinavian languages: Swedish, Norwegian, Danish, Icelandic, and Faroese. After that, Anglo-Frisian and Old English, then Middle English, then Modern English, and I've said before that it'll be a bit weird writing essentially a basic grammar on the English language as a native speaker. Then after that, we'll talk about Old High German, then German, and after that, in turn, Low Franconian, Dutch, and Afrikaans. That'll conclude the episodes on the Germanics. Then we'll move on to other Indo-European language families from there, and in turn, the other language families that we've talked about before. Once again, thank you for listening. If you like the content, please consider liking the Facebook page, which you can find by searching for The History of Language on Facebook. If you really like it, please consider becoming a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/historyoflanguage. I'll see you next week.